I'm really sorry that more don't see the need. There are things like we're done on Tuesday night and dealing with the being of Christ, which is essential. But we talk about the heart and center of the Christian life, and even Christ in dealing with the mark of the Christian is Christians getting along with Christians. And so many Christians have so many problems dealing with others. And the more I study what we're in, I spent the last several days, many more hours, just going back and doing some stuff that we won't go back and do a whole lot of. I think this is just a phenomenally important series of studies in dealing with what we're to do, because we know that what we're not to do and what we are to do in regard to each other, but what happens when the believer doesn't. And this is when most believers go to law. This is when most believers say, I don't know what to do. This is when most believers just try to find something that they can do, and generally end up in law. End up going back to the law. You didn't do this, therefore now I can deal with you in law. And that is not what we have in Scripture. And so I wanted to just continue this, and we're going to just keep working at it and exploiting it. I encourage you to continue to be in prayer for Vic Edwards' call today. And he's just going through some major surgery problems with his body. And prayer for Peg and her mom. Remember, Peg goes into the hospital Friday for her operation. And so let's continue to be in prayer in that respect. But now let's prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture. What do we do? Because there are going to be so many different churches and books that have so many different answers for what happens when another believer lets us down, sins against us, hurts us in some way. And these things are things that I'm finding in Scripture, that what we are specifically exhorted to do. And the Bible is not silent on what we do when another Christian doesn't do what they're supposed to do, fails in some way, sins in some way, in a direct way that hurts us or not. So let's prepare ourselves for the study, that the Spirit can reveal these things to us. And I encourage you, I exhort you, you have a problem with these things, don't just take notes and have this just be, you know, a class of some type. And think of these things through. And if you have objections or it seems to contradict something else that you've read in Scripture, let's talk about it. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we study Scripture and we find the relationship even of Adam in the garden alone, but it's when another human being came into the picture, and then Cain and Abel, another believer, another person in the picture. And we study all through Scripture, all the great believers and not so great believers and unbelievers. It's constantly a story of the inner relationship of man and our relationship with you. Father, I pray that you give me the words and the way to communicate these things, that what we're seeing in Scripture, the manner in which we are to deal, relate with one another, regardless of the circumstance, it seems so difficult and so impossible, that when we want to run, want to leave, want to get away, want to hurt, want to judge, don't want them to get away with this or that, that your Spirit can bring into focus things that we see in Scripture that we are supposed to do, living with you and trusting your love to never fail. Father, pray your Spirit will make these things real to us, illuminate these things to us. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of things that I've been doing with these that I did not do, it just more things build up in putting this together, is that we've been studying these various exhortations in regard to dealing with one another in adversity. And one of the things that we have noted is that a lot of them come with a qualifier. And some way or another, I want to get these qualifiers well embedded in your mind, not only what we're to do, but the manner in which we're to do it. And then another one that came about last week that I went back and been studying, or this week been back and been studying in it, and that is, as opposed to what? We do these things, we're exhorted to do these things, and by the way, we'll do them when we're walking in the Spirit. It's one of the ways we can test ourselves to see if we are walking in the Spirit. And so is by the results that will come if we're walking in the Spirit. Don't worry about coming in late. As far as you come, we're just happy you're here. So that's fine. So it's the opposite. For an example, we studied the first one, and we are to love one another. And one of the interesting things that came to mind this week in doing some work is that I grew up, I don't know about you, I grew up in really getting into an understanding of agape, agapao. Love is affection. Love has no norm and standard. Well, nearly everything we're seeing that love is and does defies that definition, that it is far more than that. It is the very force between two people. Is the spiritual love. We are to love one another, and the qualifier is not just how I define love and how I think about it, but we have a qualifier: as Jesus Christ loved you. So as Jesus Christ loved you, this is how we are to love one another. Let's just say 8 lexicons, and one of my lexicon is a dictionary in languages, Greek and Hebrew. One of my lexicons did something that the others did not. And I started looking at it with one of the words. And then I thought, wow. And I started going back. And I asked myself, okay, we are to love one another. This is in difficult circumstances when they have sinned against us, when they've hurt us, when they don't do what we want them to do. Any kind of a complaint that we might have in regard to another believer, husband, wife, friend, church, work, home, wherever. Now, love one another as opposed to what? Now, I don't have time. We're not going to take the time tonight, but not that it would be not necessary. But just to give an example, the antonym, in other words, the opposite of this word. I started looking these things up in this lexicon, and the antonym is missio. M-I-S-E, long O. And this word means hate. And they are in the opposite. As opposed to develop a hate toward that person, a resentment toward that person for what they do. And we're not going to do this with everyone, but I just want to show you the richness that even in so far as we've gone, I haven't really gotten into. And to me, as I said, this is the most important study we're doing. Because this is where you and I live, is in a relationship with each other. Intimately, husband, wife, family, friends, church. And we're always crossing each other. We're always going to let each other down. We're always going to do things that I can clearly go to the Scripture and say, see, you are not supposed to do this. Okay, but what am I supposed to do when a believer does it? Look with me at 1 John. I just want to show you the richness of looking at it even from this perspective. So what I'm showing you is, if you're following my thinking, what I'm going to do here is, what we're exhorted to do, we're to love one another. Then we have, I'm going to call it a qualifier, how or the manner in which we're to do it. And not all of them have that, but a lot of them did. But another richness, so we're looking at two things so far. One, what we're supposed to do, the manner in which we're to do it, and instead of what would be there if I didn't. And I just want to show you how important this is. Look at 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, verse 9. By the way, John here sends his greetings. We had about an hour talk today, went through a lot of things, and being in 1 John reminded me. And just, he wanted to send his greetings and all. I'm very pleased his assembly, and he told me, he said it was not me. But several of them came up and said, is there any possibility of Herman to come out and teach us again? And so we might work out something. But look with me at 1 John, but he's passed you his greetings, and they're in prayer for you as we are for them. 1 John 2, look at verse 9 with me. The one who says,
He is in the light, walking in the Spirit, yet hates his brother. And a lot of believers hate, but they won't, they'll deny, they'll deceive themselves. But when we're honest, we know. And hates his brother, another believer, is in darkness until now, no matter what he claims. He claims to be in the light, but he hates. Maybe he's dark in his soul, and maybe he fakes it, but he's not in the Spirit. So that's how I can know I'm not in the Spirit, if I have a hate. Now, let's just continue verse 10, because verse 11, it comes up again. The one who loves, contrasting it now, his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. And that's what's beautiful about spiritual love. If you're doing spiritual love, people, there's no cause for stumbling. No matter what another believer does to you, if you are in spiritual love, you won't stumble. And one other thing I'm going to show you now, you know, we're doing a lot, but another thing that I've gone back and started doing, a fourth thing, is looking at, and I'll show you this as we go through, what aspect of spiritual love specifically allows this to happen, one of these things as we go through. And I'll show you what I mean as we go through that. But verse 10, the one who loves his brother, another believer, abides in the light, power of the Spirit. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. And then we look at verse 11. But the one who hates, in contrast now to loving his brother, and people, there are a multitude of reasons for hating another believer. We just get on each other's nerves. We're human. We're going to fail each other. We're going to disappoint each other. We're going to sin against each other. We're going to make decisions the other doesn't understand. And every one of you old enough to know this and been around long enough to know it. It's just the nature of it, and this is what God has given us. Not law, but love. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. He's in the darkness, empowered by the darkness, does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's so blinded as to what's going on in truth. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. Everyone who hates his... This just keeps coming up because he's discussing love. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, if you just think fornication, that's just as well as... But people, a lot of self-righteous believers hate. And know what Scripture calls them? Murderers. Is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Don't be confused by the last part, but just setting the case. Look at chapter 4, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, boy, my relationship with God is right, correct, and hates his brother, but I have anger and hate toward another believer, he's a liar. No matter what you claim, if you harbor hate instead of love, boom, you're a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, another believer, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. I didn't write this. This is from the Scripture. Now, that's the first one we saw. Then we saw point two, we are to serve. We are to serve one another, and this one we found in Galatians. And what was the qualifier? In spiritual love. Serve one another in love. Not just serving one another. That isn't enough. In spiritual love. In the Spirit-filled life. Now, what's interesting is the antonym of that. This is doulos, if you'll remember. Doulos is a servant. That has to be our attitude. If that isn't your thinking, this is your thinking. K-U-R-I-O-S, Kurios. What is that? Kurios. That's Lord. That's the name of our Savior. That's Lord. So what you think then, I'm Lord. I'm Master. I'm the one that should be served. So you either, this should be our thinking. Serve one another. And if that isn't your thinking, then your thinking is, I am Kurios. I am to be served. I'm the one that is the master, the ruler. I'm above others. And I'm the one that should be served. Then we noted the third one that we studied. We are to bear, and this was beautiful, people. I wish I'd have done this so we could have spent more time on these. Bear the burdens. Bear the burdens of one another, and these are the burdens of sin that come about by sin. And the qualifier thing here is in gentleness, fulfilling the law of Jesus Christ. Now, what was interesting here, I wanted to, what is the antonym of that? If I do not bear another believer's burdens, and remember, context of Galatians 6:2 was what? Sin. This is a burden that comes on them because they have sinned. Now, most self-righteous Christians say that's what you deserve. That's your punishment for sin. But Scripture says, no, I'm to help them bear that burden that came into their life. And what is interesting, I won't go through it tonight with you because I want to go on, but there are several antonyms for this, or opposite. It has a couple of words. Like one of them is the word sail, and it means to shake, saluo, to stir up, to render insecure. So what happens is, if I don't bear his burden, what I'm going to do, I'm going to use it against him. I'm going to shake up his spiritual life more. I am going to render him totally insecure. Boy, look what you did. You're a loser. You're a loser, and you deserve to bear your own burden. That's the opposite. I'm either going to have an attitude and be led by the Spirit to help them bear their burden, or the flesh is, you deserve it, and use that to stir them up, shake them up, and make them insecure in their relationship with Christ. And dear people, that is the very opposite of what all of this is about. We are to bring them into a relationship with Christ, reconciliation. That's what the cross is all about. So that one was a lot of fun. Then we went to the book of Romans, and we picked up our fourth one, and the fourth one was, recognize that we are members of each other. So I'll just put down here, we are members of one another. And then the fifth one, we are to be devoted. We are to be devoted to one another. And the concept dealing with the service, and this one had a qualifier, in spiritual love. Be devoted to one another in spiritual love. What's the opposite of being devoted? It was another interesting word. And it took me a little while to think through this one. The antonym of being devoted to one another is being hardened. In fact, right out of the lexicon, hardness of heart, callous. In other words, I don't care what you need. It's not my responsibility. Get it yourself. Do it yourself. Take care of yourself. Be self-sustaining. Very callous. Very cold. So you're either cold and insensitive in the flesh, or in the spirit, you're devoted to one another in a relationship with one another. Then the sixth one was to give preference. Give preference to one another. And we spent some time on the giving of preference. This one came with a qualifier. In an honorable manner. And it's very interesting that some of the qualifiers give preference. A lot of people can give preference. I just take a simple one. You go first, do whatever you want. That's not in love. You can make a person feel very low by giving them some kind of preference. No, we do this in an honorable way that allows them to come back very easily into the spiritual life. Now think about what we're going to see as the antonym of this. This is beautiful. Give preference to one another. Context, sin and failure. They've hurt you. They're suffering. And then I looked up the antonym. If I'm not going to give preference, what am I going to do? And the antonym of this was to follow. To follow. Now, I had to think about that. How is that the antonym? If I'm not going to give someone preference in their spiritual life and in our relationship, what is to follow? Let me tell you, it's beautiful what's going on. I looked at some passages and put this together, so I'm just going to relay it very quickly for you right now. They have wronged you. What happens if you follow their pattern? What are you going to do? Wrong them. You're going to get revenge, make them pay for it. You're going to follow them. They set the course. Okay, you want to be that way? We'll be that way. I follow you. You have now set and determined how I'm going to act. Because you acted in the flesh and in sin, I'm going to. We have turned over to the other person how we're going to deal with it instead of to the other person, the Holy Spirit. This is beautiful. So if someone wrongs and hurts us, we can follow them. We can follow their pattern. All right, boy, that's the way you want to do it. That's the way it's going to be. Or we can lead to taking, giving them preference. Saying, okay, I'm not going to get even. I'm going to set up this environment so make it easy for you to get back into the spirit-filled life. I hope you see it. It's beautiful. The seventh one, we are to think. And that was another thing, the fifth. And I had about five or six things. I go back and put this together to put in our foyer. Another one was, some of these start in the mind and the soul by the work of the Spirit and work their way out. Some of them emphasize the overt. Serve emphasizes the overt. In love emphasizes the flow from the Spirit. This one, to think the same toward one another, emphasizes what starts inside of the soul. Think the same toward one another. Now, this one was easy. The Greek antonym for that. Think the same toward one another. If I don't think the same toward you, in other words, you and I are the same, what am I going to think? If I don't think of us as equal, what am I going to think? I'm superior. I'm better. I'm a little better than you. Holy Spirit will lead you to think the same toward one another. But the Holy Spirit, the flesh is going to say, no, I'm superior. I'm better than them. Throw in another thing that came into the whole picture. What causes a lot of this is, when we're walking in the flesh, our list. Remember our list that we study sometimes of what you're going to do for God? Okay, here's my list, and by my list, I'm better than you. People, no matter, this is one of the beautiful things about faith. Faith doesn't have a list that says I'm better. I'm not better than anybody by walking by faith. That's a tribute to Him, the Spirit, the Lord, the Father. But if I have a list of morality, righteousness, knowledge of doctrine, service, this emotional response to God, then I begin to think I'm a little better by this list. So the opposite of thinking the same is, I think I'm a little better in this respect. And that's what's going to flow out from us. Then the eighth one was, we are to build up one another. Encourage one another in Christ. Build up one another in Christ. And this is, instead of building up, we have, you'll love the Greek word. You'll love this. See if you catch it. So we're either going to build up one another, or we're going to go to this is K-A-T-A-S, Kattis, R-O-T-H-E, catastrophe, is a Greek word, and what it means is, we're going to destroy. We're going to tear them down. You loser. You're no good. You don't know how to do anything. You can't do anything. I'm better than you. So either we're going to build up a believer that we're in relationship with, or we're going to tear them down. In the Spirit, we'll build them up. They are in sin. And we're going to build them up to edify them back into the Spirit. Or we're going to keep them there. And tell them how horrible they are in that respect. The ninth one, be of the same mind with one another. The same mind, the same thinking with one another. We spent some time in regard to being of the same mind with one another. The tenth one, accept one another. And we spent some time, accept one another. And this was the qualifier, just as Christ accepted us. The antonym to accept one another is ek balo, which means, ek means out, balo means to throw out, to separate yourself from them, to send them out, have nothing to do with them. So you got a choice. You can accept a believer, even one who is in sin and hurt and failed, or you can throw them out, separate from them, send them on their way. The 11th one, we are to admonish. We are to admonish one another to walk in the Spirit. Now, what was interesting about the antonym to this is, opposed to leading them astray. We can either admonish them to walk by faith, or we can lead them astray. And one of the great ways to lead another believer astray is to lead them into law. That's leading them astray. Or we can admonish them to walk in the Spirit. The 12th one, where we had a lot of fun, greet. Greet one another. In other words, some physical action that lets them know they are accepted. This had several antonyms. It was the opposite of conduct such as hostility, judging them, condemning them, repudiating them, blame or find fault, slander. All of these are the antonyms of the Greek word to greet one another, as opposed to judging them, slandering them, maligning them. Then we went into Corinthians and saw the 13th one, which was we are to wait on one another, and we're to wait on that believer, as opposed to not waiting and being very much with despair and they're being not there on time. 14th. The 14th, we are to care. We are to care for one another. Okay? We spent some time here. The antonym for caring for one another. One of the antonyms is amaleo, and that means to neglect. Another one is peritheo, which means to overlook. And the third word, alegaero, means to have little regard for. So, you can either care for one another, husband, wife, friend, church, wherever it may be, and remember we're talking about when they fail, you can care for them, or you can neglect and encourage them, caring for them back into the spirit of their life. You can overlook, and this is often what happens between people that are very close, like a husband and wife or family. We just overlook it. We just, you know, okay, you're out, big deal. We don't care about one another, but you will in the spirit. And another one is, have little regard. I don't care if you're in or out anyway. I don't care if you're walking in the spirit or not. It doesn't bother me. You did that to me, that's your problem. I'm going on. I'm getting away from you. That's your attitude. Or you can care for one another. People, all of these are going to impose on your life. That's why the alternative is always easier. It's much easier just to walk away than to have to stick around and care for somebody to get them into the spirit of their life. And then, we did this one last week, finished it, kind to one another. We are to be kind to one another. Several antonyms for kindness. In fact, I'm sorry we didn't do it because it'll help us understand kind of what kindness is. We saw that kindness is what is needed, what is profitable. We saw all these contests with kindness. Let me give you some of the antonyms and it'll help you get a feel of what the word kindness means. Now, here are things that are the opposite of that. It means what is bad, kakos, which is bad, harmful to them, to get into the spirit of their life. Phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S, is the Greek word. It means what is rotten or spoiled or bad for them. Another word is what is unprofitable, useless, to their detriment. So it's either going to be kindness or that. Then we ended up last week with the 16th one, and that was to submit. Watch this. Submit to one another. Very important one. Well, the opposite of that is just like we've already seen, to submit or to kurios, lord over, our master. I don't have to submit to anyone. Everybody has to submit to me. Okay, tonight we move to the book of Philippians. And with the book of Philippians, we have the 17th one. And this one's tough. This one is tough. We are to consider, put it on the board here for you, we are to consider one another as more important than self. I'm supposed to think that some believer who is in sin and hurt me in their sin, wrong me, is more important than me? Are you crazy? Antithetical to the flesh, people. It's antithetical to the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to do this. You have to always remember what the flesh nature is. It's to protect me. It's the immune system of me in the flesh man. And I'm not going to consider someone else as more important than me, especially someone who has sinned and hurt me. Okay, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2 with me. Let me get over there with you. I have it turned out, but let's just get there together. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Ooh, this is tough. See? And that's what it says, and that's what it means. And this is not going to be done in any praiseworthy manner other than in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very close to number six. This is very close to number six, give preference to one another. Slight difference, as we'll see, but it's very close to number six. Here it's, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Now, before we, this is what I'm going to do from here on, if where it fits, what's applicable. Before we go on with this, regard one another as more important than yourself. Please think about this now. Think about one another as more important than yourself. Is that really possible? Especially if they've hurt you and they're out of the plan of God. Let's just make this very, without any question, they are wrong and they have sinned against you. What does the Bible say to do? They are more important than self. How am I able to do that? Remember when we first started this, I told you that all of these come under this one. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and then it lists eight others. They all come from that, flow from that. That's the main one. Now, turn with me. Think about what we're doing. Consider one another more important than self. Let me show you how you're able to do this. This is beautiful. I love this. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 with me a moment. I can't hold your place, and I will just turn back to it, but look at 1 Corinthians 13. Consider one another as more important than yourself. Look at verse 4. Spiritual love is not jealous. People, if you're not jealous, you're not competing, and it's no problem that somebody else shines, as it were, does whatever they're doing. I'm not fighting or dealing with them. Jealousy, if you remember our study, jealousy is the immune system of the flesh. It's designed to do that. Whenever you're dealing with jealousy, just think about what you're dealing with. We talk about it, sin, yeah, but what's going on? Well, I'm in the flesh, and the immune system of the flesh is very jealous. If anybody else gets praised and I don't, anybody else gets something and I don't, somebody's getting away with something, because I'm very jealous to protect me. I want to be protected. So because love is not jealous, what? Because spiritual love is not jealous, this is no problem, thinking somebody more important than yourself. But we're not through. Look at also in verse 4, spiritual love does not boast. Spiritual love is not arrogant. You put those three powers, impact, the impact of love, this is no problem, even when they're wrong. I'm not here occupied with myself. But the kicker, and even more powerful, I hope you'll see this one right off, look at verse 5. Spiritual love does not seek its own. It's not here to boast itself, push itself up, its own glory, its own place. People, if you are walking in the Spirit and is poured in spiritual love, this is a piece of cake. Because spiritual love just doesn't care, isn't going to worry about this. It's not there for itself. It's not there to boast itself. It's not there to promote itself. It's not there for any of those kinds of reasons. Now, if you will, let's go back to the Philippians passage, Philippians 2:3. What I want to do is start off with the context. And what I want you to see is that the first half of the verse, you get a good picture of the flesh. You get a good picture of the flesh. And the second half of the verse, you get a good picture of the new man in the power of the Spirit. You get a good picture. Look at the verse now with that in mind. Do nothing from selfishness, that's what comes from the flesh. Empty conceit, that's what comes from the flesh. Now, the new man in the power of the Spirit, humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. So here's a good place to see what comes from the flesh as right in the same verse opposed to what will come from the Holy Spirit. What motivates our actions in the flesh? What motivates our actions in the Spirit? All of these things, one of the big problems that people had when I first started teaching spirituality by faith, how do we know if we're in the Spirit? I know if I'm doing law, doctrine, I can read. This is what the doctrine says. This is what the law says. How do I know if I'm in the Spirit? And what I've learned is the more you and I understand what the spirit-filled life is characterized like, it's a piece of cake. The more I know what the flesh looks like, it's a piece of cake. I'm in the flesh. You don't have to tell me. I know I'm in the flesh. I know I'm in the Spirit. I know what comes from the Spirit. I know what comes from the flesh. And here you have a beautiful picture of them. Now, in verse 2, the first half, what I've done, I came here early, and I put up here for you the first half of the verse and the second half in a moment, and my objective here is to show you the different ways this is translated and show you why it has that translation. Now, the first one is from the NASB. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Now, this is what comes from the flesh. Selfishness, empty conceit, I know I'm working in the flesh. Now, then I looked at the NIV. Do nothing out of, same idea, selfish ambition. Selfishness, selfish ambition. Or vain conceit. Same type of word, just different. Then the third one that I looked up was the King James. And the King James, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. The New Revised Edition, and I just put in because my computer had it on it, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Okay, let's see what we got. To be nothing is pretty much, let nothing or be. Okay. From, out of, be done through, from. Selfishness, selfish ambition, strife. This is the only one that may strike you a little different. It's not the same kind of translation that the others have, and I'll show you why. Selfish ambition. And then over here are empty conceit, vain glory, not to actually write it from the word, or just plain conceit. All right, let's see what we have. Let's start with the negative. Do nothing. The verb for doing is understood. It's not in the original. Even if on the surface people, let's deal with this, do nothing. I want to talk about this. Do nothing. Do you know that includes all of the 18 things we've done so far? Well, I guess we could skip the first one for a minute, but this includes almost everything we've been studying. And that was what I'm trying to point out to you. This means even things that are right in on the surface of what they do. You don't even do those things. The nothing here doesn't mean bad things. It means do nothing. Not even things that are good in and of them. If we took serving one another, if I served you in some way, even to get you back into the spiritual life, as it were, but I'm doing it to help me look good, make me look good, it profits me nothing. What you have with this word people is 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. Whether I speak with the gift of the language of angels, whether I do all the things in my spiritual gift, it profits me nothing. If I give everything I own, it profits me nothing. I am nothing. If I give all that I own, I'm nothing. If I understand all knowledge and all mysteries of the Bible, all those things that do not have love, they profit me nothing. That's what this right here is. You're nothing. No matter what you may do. Others, on the surface, it may be okay. Nobody judges inside what's going on inside. This is where you and I have our own relationship with the Holy Spirit. So this means even good things. Especially good things. So do nothing. I just want to be sure you got the nothing down and what it means. It deals with all of those things that we've been studying for. So even if on the surface it's the right thing, but if it's not done in the right power, people, it's of no profit to you. You might as well gain some spiritual profit and spiritual momentum and reflect the glory of Christ if you're going to do some of the things where you're devoted to one another, helping one another, serving one another, all these things here. But if you do it with this in mind, ambition in mind, yourself in mind, I'm going to look good if I do this, profits you nothing to do it in the flesh. So whatever we do, we want to be doing in spirit and in truth, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and in the glory of Jesus Christ. So it can be done in a right, it can be done, but not done in the right manner. That is why, one reason, this nothing here is not only like 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, it's also like all of those qualifiers. Serve one another in love. Not just serve one another, but in love. So just to draw your attention to that. So nothing all includes every one of the exhortations, all these things we've been studying. They and of themselves are not important. Not the issue. The power of the Holy Spirit. That becomes the great issue. Next we have the prepositional phrase in all of these. From, out from, be done through, from. This one adds, the King James added a verbal concept, be done through, to deal with the preposition. If the Greek is kata, according to, out from, motivated, most motivated, this type of thing. Out from. Now, the next thing. Let's go from that. Okay. Out from the source of, be motivated by selfishness, selfish ambition, added a little concept of which that implies. Strife, this one sets it apart, selfish ambition. Okay, let's see what we're dealing with. The Greek word is eretheia. Put it on the board, but there's no reason to. It wouldn't impress you. But I will tell you what it means. The word eretheia, aritheia, if you please, is a basic idea is to work for hire. Now, what does that mean, to work for hire? To work for my advantage. Does that make sense? It means to work for hire. If I work for hire, I'm working for my advantage, not yours. I may dig your ditch. I may build your fence. I may take care of something you have, but it's for me. My whole motivation is me, not you. I really don't care about you. That's what this word, the basic root of this word, it's like a mercenary. I'll even do your tough job, but it's for me. I'll do some tough things, but it's for me. I'll do the things that I'm supposed to do, that a Christian there what the Spirit will do. But it's for me. It's not for Christ. It's for me. I'll even let you walk on me and take it. But it's for me. I want to look good in this. So that's why you get some of this selfish ambition thrown in there. So the word deals with the mercenary. They're going to work. They'll do the good things. But it's all for themselves, their own purpose, their own glory. Therefore, the word came to be used for rivalry, strife, contention, self-interest. Because, and that's why the King James has the word strife here. Because I'm not doing this for the body. I'm not doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for me. And it will cause strife, reconciliation. Instead of unity of the body, you start functioning
for your own glory, for your own self, this is generally what's going to resolve eventually. This will come out eventually, the strife and the rivalry. And that's what the Greek word is so rich here and points out to us. So this is why it's translated with both the ideal of selfish, the selfish ambition, but strife is also going to come out of this. Note with me, I hope you did turn back, look with me at, let's read this verse, and then I want you to look at another verse with this in mind of this word. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Now, look with me at chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and let's read verses 15 through 17. I want to show you something. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill, proper motivation. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former, those who do it out of strife, out of self-will, proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Now, people, there are a lot of preachers, evangelists, that's what he's talking about here, who are not in it for the Lord. Now, I want us to know that, not so that you and I can judge. People, don't walk around, well, I can tell. Don't do that. I can just see that guy on TV, man, he isn't praising the Lord. He's just out to make a buck. He's just out to build, you know, get 50 million followers. Don't do that. But know in your soul, there are those that do. There are those who try to look real good for the Lord, real pure. People, that's the scribes and the Pharisees. They look real good, causing strife between those who didn't do what they wanted to do. That's how this word comes about. The Pharisees were always causing strife and division to, out of their selfishness and their selfish ambition. Bringing the woman who was caught in adultery, cause all this division, try to put Christ down, get him entrapped by the law, make us look better. When you try to do all of these things to make yourself look better, you're going to cause strife. Does that make sense? If I'm doing something to make me look better than you, there's going to be strife. First of all, it comes into a little competition, and then pretty soon it's strife. Because I want to look better. I want to look good. I want this. Right thing, but boy, here's my motivation. It's inside. As opposed to right. And this is even in giving forth the gospel. Telling others about Christ can be done in such a way, just to divide, separate. We're the best. We're all over here alone. And all of this kind of thing, as opposed to, I want you to understand Christ. I want you to know Christ. Out of a love for Christ and a love for people. Love for the believer and love for the unbeliever. Okay, I think you see that. Let's go back now to our passage. Do nothing from selfishness or rivalry. And this is what so many believers are. They compete with one another. This is the reason why believers hurt each other, judge one another, because inside they're competing, inside, and then eventually overtly, there's a rivalry, there's competition. But it's for their own purity, their own advantage before the Lord. People, what happened in the upper room? The disciples came in, I'm more spiritual, I'm closer to the Lord. Rivalry, selfishness, selfish ambition, strife came from it. Not unity in Christ, but strife came from it. Then we have the negative, all of them like on that, nor translated or here. Then we have a repeat of the conjunction, kata, and I didn't put it on here, but from, we got that, that repeated. Now, let's take a look at what it says. Then it says, first of all, kata, then we have kino, doxia, glory, or conceit. This is what we're looking at. Empty conceit, vain conceit, these go together. Vain glory, or conceit. Just simply conceit. All right, what is our word? Our word is kino, doxia.
And axia is glory. Keno means to be vain, empty. And so what you have is really the King James here just took the compound Greek word vain glory, empty glory, glory of myself, trying to get glory for myself. And that's what we have happening in with this person. All right, they will hurt others, they will judge others, one another, to make themselves look good. And again, this is why the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery, always trying to bring up what other people do wrong, so that they look good and cause this strife and build themselves up. Give them the glory. Give them some recognition. I did this. We went and found this woman caught in adultery. I noticed they didn't bring the man in. But they are going to do all of this stuff to make themselves look good. It's all done with this in mind. And that's one of the primary reasons the Lord just passed her on by. Just wrote on the ground and didn't judge her and let that one pass on by. He wasn't going to get entrapped by this kind of stuff going on instead of a motivation of love. So, they want to look good, but inside they are more important than the other believers. Now, instead of thinking this way and acting and doing these things in this way, what should be our motivation? What should be that which motivates us to regard one another as more important than ourselves? Not out of this kind of stuff. Because you can do it in the flesh, in this kind of stuff. So let's see the second half, which comes from the Spirit-filled life. It says in the second half now, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Okay, what I did, I wrote this on for us because there are a lot of different ways of translating all of this in the different texts. The New American Standard, but with humility in mind, let each one of you, an ideal of the verb, regard, but, and this is the NIV, but in, within, humility, but in, this is the King James, in lowliness of mind, and but in humility. Then we have different words for here. Consider, regard, consider, esteem, and regard. One another, more important, better, and that's better, or surpassing. So we have three different words for the translation of this Greek word, more important, better, superior, or surpassing. Here we have humility of mind, just simply humility, lowliness of mind. You get the same thing. Here we have regard, consider, esteem. We have three different words here. So let's see what's going on in the text. This helps you to just get a feel of the way it's translated so we can tell. All right, but, and we have the contrast, Allah. Contrasting what? Contrasting what goes on in the flesh or from the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit of their life. And so this is the way we want to do this. Instead of desires for praising yourself, exalting yourself, making yourself look good in this deal, or you can do it for another reason. But with or in humility of mind, our lowliness of mind. It's a long Greek word, wouldn't impress you. But the word means low-minded, base, humble, humility, lowliness of mind. These are all out of lexicons. Lowliness of mind of thinking of yourself, having a correct estimate of yourself in regard to others. So this is what the word basically comes down to mean. We often have a high, pretentious attitude about ourselves and that distinguishes us. In our nature, it is our flesh nature, we have something that distinguishes me from others. Some pretentious attitude or something that is going to make me better. Now, what you have with this is a good study of list. See, if you have your list, that's what sets me apart. I know a little more doctrine than you know. And a lot more doctrine than most Christians know. People, I grew up in an environment like that. And that was said openly. Christians, 99% of Christians are dumb. They don't know as much as I know. I'm a little better. Or it might be in the list, righteous morality. Very few Christians are really as moral as I am. And boy, when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to be really straight with the Lord. Boy, I'm going to be sure with the Lord, and a lot of other Christians are going to be in for a hurt. Or it might be some type of emotional response to God. That sets me apart. That's my little pretentious thing that distinguishes me. I can really emote to God, and you can't really emote to God the way I can emote with God. Might be service. Boy, I serve the Lord. I'm always out. I'm going here for the Lord. And I go, you don't go down and work with the street people like I do. You don't go work with the homosexuals like I do. You don't go work with the poor people like I do. You don't work with these people like I do. I'm a little better than you. I'm set apart. I'm distinguished as a little bit better. See, that comes from flesh thinking. The spirit-filled life is a humility. There is none of that, people, when you are in faith. When you know that your worthiness, please listen as I close, your worthiness has nothing to do with all of those lists. Your worthiness is in Christ. Your worthiness is when I walk in the Spirit, just like anybody else. There is no pretension in faith. There is nothing that distinguishes me from anybody else in faith. So it doesn't feed any kind of arrogance. It doesn't set me apart. It doesn't distinguish me as better. Because the object of faith is always the glory of faith. He is set apart. He's God the Holy Spirit. He's God Jesus Christ. He's God the Father. The object of our faith sets them apart as in glory. I'm nothing. And I know that. And if I do have some service, if I do have some knowledge that others do not have, if I do have an emotional relationship with the Lord, if I do serve the Lord, it's all, my adequacy is still in the Spirit, not in those things. Here's my adequacy. If we're walking in the Spirit, we have this attitude, this humility, this humbleness of mind in our relationship with the Lord. It is not bred or fed with any kind of arrogance, anything that sets me apart, because I know better. I know it's just my faith. Non-meritorious faith and my adequacy in Christ. So it is with that in mind, and I'm going to close, and this is where we'll pick it up next week. With that kind of thinking going with me, I wish I could finish this tonight, then this easily breeds this thinking of another person. And what we'll do next week, I'll show you, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 13 again. And what allows me to regard another as more important than me? What allows me, the filling of the Spirit plus spiritual love, allows me to consider somebody else as better. And it doesn't bother me at all. A lot of Christians I know have a problem with heaven and how there are going to be different degrees in heaven. Some will get this, some that. Oh, that would be wrong. We're all going to be this way in heaven. You see, what they're working on is the ideal of jealousy now, and we know they're thinking. If one Christian here and that, well, then this. But in heaven, we're all going to be the same. No, we're not. But, dear people, one thing about heaven is whoever is up there, it's not even going to bother another believer wherever you are. It's not even going to bother you. And if you will do, if we will allow His Spirit to pour in spiritual love now, and you can reach that point now, do you realize you've got a little taste of how heaven's going to work in that regard? Because if you are in spiritual love now, and it doesn't even bother you, it doesn't even bother you that someone is better or you're thinking that they're better, it doesn't even bother you now. You'll get an idea. That's how it's going to be infinitely, because we won't have an ocean nature, in heaven. I can see how that's going to work in heaven now, because in the Spirit, that's where I'm at. I don't care that somebody has this or that, even in the spiritual realm. I don't. They're spirit. That doesn't bother me. My relationship with the Lord is intact. I know my adequacy with the Lord. That's why Paul can say, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. No matter where and what others are, that isn't going to bother me. Spiritual love is not bothered by others. Spiritual love is in itself It doesn't worry about others. And so that's why spiritual love does not try to exalt itself. Doesn't try to put itself forth. Doesn't worry about all of this. So this is absolutely not a problem in the spiritual life. To regard this other believer as better. Now, I want to come back and work through this with you, but I don't want to leave you without understanding. Why is this the case? Why is this the case of doing these things in context of another believer who's hurt you, sinned against you? Why does the Spirit bring us to that point? Because people, if you care about somebody, if you love somebody, if you really esteem a person, and that's another way this can be translated, esteem a person as really somebody important and wonderful, you don't want them in sin. You don't want them in darkness. You want them in the light. You want them in the light. If you see somebody, let's say that you think is superior to you and better than you, and you really care, whoever it would be, officer in the military or somebody at work, and you see them drunk, just to make a point, you don't want anyone else to see them drunk. Your attitude toward that person is, boy, man, I want to get them out of there and get them back right, get them back into the light. That's why this is the ending. Even when somebody's hurt you. Because I care so much. This person's better than me. This person surpasses me. And, boy, I don't want that to be. Instead of judging them, when you have this kind of an attitude toward them, you're going to do whatever you can, getting them back reconciled with God. People, that's what our Savior had for us on the cross. He esteemed us worthy for Him to put Himself down and put Himself on a cross to bear our iniquity. They are better than me. They are more important than my holding on to my position. I will sacrifice for them. This is our thinking. This other believer is more important, surpassing, better. I don't want them there. I want them in the light. I care that much about them. And this is how all of this is going to eventually come together. I hope you see it. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of opening Scripture and finding out, Father, how do we deal with one another? Oh, Father, we know the do's and the don'ts that you've given to us. But, Father, what happens is we or they don't do, and they do what they're not supposed to. Father, thank you so much for revealing to us what the Scriptures say. Thank you for revealing to us what the essentials are. Let us, Father, continue to dive into these things and allow your Spirit to open this door. Because it's so easy to go to law if somebody doesn't do what we think they would do and what the Bible says they would do. It's so easy to turn right into law. We pray to continue to open this door wider and wider that we can see what to do and why. And then, Heavenly Father, be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit in various circumstances in our life. Be sensitive to His leading in these directions. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.